Are we going to be talking about a new Raptors GM by Monday?
You know, I would hope so. I think that that situation needs to be cleared up. There's just so many moving parts that need to be addressed, you know, prior to the draft, even though the Raptors don't have a pick, but you never know what can happen by now and then. So I think the quicker they clear the situation up, the better it is for everybody moving forward. You just don't want to have that situation dragging on into mid to late June.
Sharon, if this goes through, what would in your opinion, and maybe what is the relationship and what's the role of Dwayne Casey as that moves forward?
Well, I think obviously when you're talking about Masai Ujiri, this is a guy who's familiar with the layout here in Toronto. He understands, you know, a lot more than the average person coming into the situation would understand. And obviously for Dwayne Casey, it's going to be about the feel. Whoever comes in as a new GM is going to have to decide whether or not they want to bring their guy in, or do they want to keep Dwayne Casey and allow him to continue to coach this team. And that's the difficulty of being a coach when a new GM comes in. You can't really be mad either way, but ultimately you'd hope for Dwayne Casey, he'd get a chance to continue to coach this team based on the fact that, you know, there are some things that have to be ironed out from a coaching perspective, his staff as well. And it's just difficult when you come and change the whole kit and caboodle, how much things you really don't understand are good and some things that you don't understand are bad that you may need to change. So you just don't want to come in and sweeping change everything. You want to make sure that you get a good understanding and feel of what's going on and see what's worth keeping and what you need to move on from.
Sherman Hamilton, NBA TV, and fan of Mr. Vegas's Brook at Dawn. Is that close?
Don't say it again. Don't say it.
No, I shouldn't.
Just let Sherman say it.
All right, Sherman, you say it.
Mr. Vegas and Brook at Dawn.
Yeah, it was a lot different. I'm sorry. Ken Berger, for those who don't know, of CBS Sports, is reporting that the Raptors are pursuing Pacers GM Kevin Pritchard to head up basketball operations. He sent that tweet out a little earlier today, and then Adrian Wojnarowski said that the Raptors have been given permission to speak to Masai Ujiri, and that's expected to happen in the next 24 hours in Denver. Doug Smith came on, Sherman. He said that if they get the permission to speak to Ujiri, it could be done very soon, like Monday. Agree or disagree?
Well, I see where Doug's coming from because, I mean, there's not really much that you have to explain to Masai. He was here. He was an assistant GM under Brian Colangelo, and he knows the layout. He understands the structure, although since he's left, obviously Bell and Rogers have stepped in and become major players in this situation. But he's very familiar with the personnel here. He's familiar with a lot of the upper management, so it's a comfortable, and I think there's really no sell there. Either Masai likes the situation and wants to come in. You don't really have to explain too many things. So the urgency or I think the way that situation can be expedited, as Doug is alluding to, is the fact that you don't really have to break everything down, as Mr. Vegas does. You just have to give him kind of the up-to-date version of what's going on.
So if this happens, which it looks like it will, and Brian Colangelo is apparently going to stay with the organization, is that correct?
Yes,
as a president, yes.
So is that an ideal situation for him? I mean, you know, it's kind of like a firing in some ways, but it's not really a promotion.
Well, you're right. It is one of those situations where, you know, I'm sure Brian would have loved to have kept both titles, but unfortunately management made a decision to take away the GM title and leave him as president. And I think, you know, for the most part, they're saying to him that, you know, you've added value and there's a lot that you've done and there's still things that you can do. And would Brian like to be the GM still? I believe he would. But as business goes, you just got to move on. And for him, I think it's going to be interesting to see how he attacks this and see, you know, how he feels about being just the president of this team and what kind of differences he can make with this organization as a president. So, yeah, I see what you're saying, Jerry. It's not necessarily a promotion, but he is in a situation where he's going to be involved heavily in a lot of the decisions that are being made. And ultimately, when you get one title stripped away, you still want to feel like you're a piece of the puzzle, and he is a piece of the puzzle.
Friend of the show, Sherman Hamilton, joining us here on Jerry and Tim, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sherman, I'm in a bit of a state of confusion given game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And let me explain. The Heat usually start slow. Last year, NBA Finals, they lose game one, they win four straight. Last year against the Pacers, they were down 2-1, they rolled. Against the Bulls, they lost game one and won four straight. But looking out on that floor in game number one, it seemed to me like the Pacers won almost every matchup outside Braun and lost by one in Miami in overtime.
Well, that's very correct, and they lost because of Braun. So,
yeah.
you're right, though. When you look at the matchups, and I said this before, if Dwayne Wade isn't playing like the Dwayne Wade of old...
Which he isn't.
He is not. You're right. Miami's in for a dogfight against Indiana. The bottom line is you're going to need help. And the reason why Miami won last year was because of guys like Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade. And then they got those other guys, Shane Battier, to shoot the ball and all that. But ultimately, you need that number two and number three guy. And if number two isn't there, LeBron James and Eric Spoelstra said this, he's going to have to be all world for them to win this series. Difficult situation to be in. And if you're Indiana, you walk away from that game and say, really? We took them to overtime and we lost on a layup. This isn't that insurmountable when you think about it. I think Indiana is very confident going into game two that they can get a W. And if you're Miami, as you said, Tim, they're slow starters, but they can't be a slow starter in game two. They've got to get out early and get on top of that game.
Sherm, if this follows the same path as the Chicago series, and you're Chicago and you win the first game, which is similar, it's a close game, you win, and then you get pounded, how different is this for Indiana? Did they learn from that, or is it just a completely better team?
Yeah, I think it's a completely better team, Jerry. And the bottom line is Chicago was trying to do something that I think they all knew they couldn't do based on who wasn't in the lineup, Luol Deng out of the lineup, Kirk Heinrich. Obviously, no Derrick Rose. So they were fighting, and they were trying to make it interesting. But ultimately, Miami was just clearly head and shoulders a better team. When you look at Indiana and you look at Miami, obviously Miami has the best player in the world. But after him, can you really say that as a team that Miami's a better team, clear-cut, decisively? I don't think so. And I think Indiana feels that they're a better team. And again, their style of play. Their power, their meat is in the middle. That's how they score. That's how they win games. And Roy Hibbert didn't play well, but David West did. If both those guys play well against Miami, I think the front line is going to have a problem. And I think Miami knows that. They got away with one. So they're going to have to figure out a way to kind of protect themselves from being hurt in the middle. But to answer your question, Jerry, I think Indiana is a far superior team than Chicago is without their full lineup.
Guest host Jerry D in with Tim McAuliffe. This is Jerry and Tim today. Sherman Hamilton joining us on the line. Before I separate my shoulder, patting myself on the back for saying that Paul George was going to be a player, Sherman, would you have worn the shirt that he wore post-game in your news conference if you were in the NBA right now?
Absolutely not. I don't know what's going on with these young guys, Tim, but they're trying some stuff that just doesn't make sense. Now,
however,
I mean, when you play the way Paul George plays, you've got a right to wear what you want to wear. I mean, he was balling in game one. And you should give yourself credit because he's going to be, I think, a nightmare on both sides of the ball as his years in the NBA go on. He's just one of those super talented guys that gets it, that knows how to score the basketball. But I love the fact, and I know you're a defensive guy too, Tim, that he gets after it defensively. And I said this about game one. If LeBron James, and I'm sure he did respect Paul George before game one, but I think that respect level has gone up based on the fact that he defended LeBron, plus he still put in the work offensively. He knows LeBron knows that this guy is for real, and this guy is going to challenge him every step of the way.
Prediction for game two. Is it a – can Indiana – do they win? Is it a close game, or does Miami blow them out?
You know, I think it's going to be a close game, but I my gut tells me that Indiana is going to get a W. I think they're brewing with confidence after losing that game the way they did. I think that they feel that they let one go. And when a team feels that way, they're kind of – they got more incentive to go out there and get game two. And I think they're going to come out, I feel, and try to really punch Miami in the mouth early in the game. And if Miami doesn't step up to the challenge, I think Indiana could squeeze out game two and take home court advantage.
Sure, before we let you guys, I want to touch on the Western Conference Final quickly. Is Greg Popovich teaching Lionel Hollins a tough lesson, or is this just the Grizzlies struggling out of the gate?
I think it's the Grizzlies struggling out of the gate.
Okay.
And having said that, the Spurs are able to play different styles of basketball. Memphis plays one style. They're going to be physical, they're going to put the ball down low, and they're going to try and hurt you. What Greg Popovich has said you're going to be physical, we're going to be just as physical. And I don't think anybody's done that to Memphis. And the fact that Zach Randolph hasn't scored well, he's going to find a way to score. And that's where the adjustments of Greg Popovich come in. He's such a brilliant coach. He just knows how to really get the pulse of the game and figure out things on the fly. And I think Memphis, they're stuck playing the style they play. They don't alter it. They don't change it. And Lionel Hollins has preached that, and that's how they've won. They're not going to change their style, whereas Pop has a bit more flexibility to adjust and kind of feel how the game is flowing.